One of the key issues when we study the book of Revelation is the date of the book. And you know, when you think about most other books in the New Testament, when you date the book of Ephesians or Philippians or books like that, really isn't that big of an issue. Now, you know, to kind of relate the chronology together, it helps to know when these books were written. But we would say they were written by Paul, written sometime during Paul's lifetime. That's the most important thing. You know, Paul wrote it, it's written during his life. But it really, the interpretation of the books rarely hinges one way or the other on when the book was written. But the book of Revelation, there's a very important issue in the dating of the book that relates to the interpretation of the book. And so we want to spend one entire session here or lesson talking about the date of the book. One of the reasons I want to spend one entire lesson on this, at Dallas Seminary, I wrote my PhD on this issue. I wrote it on, it's called The Defense of the Domitianic Date of the Book of Revelation. If you ever have bad insomnia, need to get some sleep, you can pick that up. In fact, you can find it at a website called pre-trib.org. And you go on the front page there, you can click on that, and my dissertation's there where you can read that. So this is something I've thought about extensively and I've written about and read. And one of the key issues, though, is why is the date of Revelation so important? The reason the book of Revelation, the date of the book is important is one of the four main views. Remember last time we talked about these four views, main views of the timing of the fulfillment in the book. The preterist view, it's past. Historicism, it's present. Idealist, it's timeless. The futurist view that chapters 4 through 22 describe real events and people yet to appear on the world scene. Well, the preterist view that holds these events as being past, preterists say, look, either most or all of the book was fulfilled in the events of the Jewish war in 67 to 70 AD, culminating in the destruction of Jerusalem. That's their view. Well, if the book of Revelation is about the events of the late 60s AD and fulfilled climaxes in 70 AD, it had to be written before that. So preterism is what I call date dependent. The preterist view is dependent on a 65 date, AD 65 date, for the book of Revelation. If Revelation was written after, really 67 AD, but certainly after 70 AD, then preterism is no longer a viable option. So the dating of the book is important to the view of preterism. Now let me say this, it's very important. None of the other three views, historicism, idealism, or futurism, depend on any particular date. The early date of 65 AD could be correct, and any of the views could be right. But if it's after 70 AD, any of the other views can be right, but preterism cannot be right. So preterism is the one view of these four that's what we call date dependent. They have to have a date in the mid-60s AD for their view to be correct. None of the other views do. Again, even if the 65 date's correct, futurism can still be true. But preterism can't be true if it's after 70 AD. Now here's what R.C. Sproul says in his book, The Last Days According to Jesus. He says, if the book, talking about Revelation, was written after AD 70, then its contents manifestly do not refer to events surrounding the fall of Jerusalem. So he recognizes that problem. A man named Ken Gentry, who's written a lot on this topic, he's a partial preterist. He says this in his book, The Beast of Revelation. He says, if the late date of around AD 95 to 96 is accepted, a wholly different situation would prevail. The events in the mid and late 60s of the first century would be absolutely excluded as possible fulfillments. So, look, if the late date is accepted here of 95 or 96, it can't be a prophecy about the events of AD 70. Now, one thing that's important to remember, and this is important just in our study of theology in general, a theological position is only as strong as its weakest point. You can have a whole lot of strong points for a theological view, but it's only as strong as its weakest point. So the weakest link in the chain is only it determines really whether a view is correct or not. And the Achilles heel, or the weak link, if you will, of preterism is the date of the book of Revelation. And one other thing that's important here is the AD 95 date, that Revelation was written in 95 AD, is the traditional date. Therefore, R.C. Sproul even admits, he says, the burden for preterists is to demonstrate that Revelation was written before AD 70. So the burden of proof is on preterists to show that it was written before AD 70, because the 95 date for Revelation's writing has really been the dominant view through church history. So there are two main dates for the composition of the book of Revelation. One date called the early date. We call that the Neronic date, because that is when Nero was Caesar. That is, it was written in about AD 65. The other date, called the Domitianic date, because obviously the late date, that's when Domitian was the emperor, is also often called the traditional date. It's been basically the traditional view of the church for 1900 years. These are the two dates, the early date of 65 AD, the late date of AD 95. Now, again, when it comes to dating a book in the New Testament, there are two lines of evidence that we have to follow. We need to look at what's called the external evidence. What do people outside that book in church history, what do they say about it? And then the internal evidence within the book itself. So we look at the evidence within the book and the evidence outside the book. And what I want to do is just look at a few of the main arguments for the 65 date and then the main arguments for the 95 date, and leave you to, as the jury, as it were, to kind of render your own verdict about this, and try to be as even-handed as I can in presenting the evidence. The main arguments for the AD 65 date, there really are four of them when it comes to the internal evidence within the book. First of all, what they will say is there's no mention in the book of Revelation of the destruction of Jerusalem. They'll say, look, if the book of Revelation was written after AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed, why in the world wouldn't John mention the destruction of Jerusalem? You remember Jesus in his Olivet Discourse before he died prophesied Jerusalem would be destroyed. They say, well, why in the world wouldn't John, if it's written after 70, mention that and mention that that prophecy had been fulfilled that Jesus had given to validate who Jesus is? So that's a pretty good argument. Well, the problem with that is that the audience here that Jesus is writing to, that John is writing to in the book of Revelation, remember, they're in Asia Minor. They're about 800 miles away from Jerusalem. They may have been mainly Gentiles that he's writing to. And the book of Revelation, remember, is a prophecy that's telling us about the future. It's not a book that's telling us about the past. So, to me, why would John mention the destruction of Jerusalem, a city 800 miles away, to mainly Gentiles, an event that had happened 25 years in the past, and John is being instructed by Jesus in this book, write the things that you see. He's seeing visions of the future, and he's being told to write down what he sees. He's not at liberty to go write things that had happened in the past. So I think, to me, that explains why this isn't mentioned, even though it's written later. The other thing, again, that preterists always point to is they point to these words, like in verse 1, the things which must shortly take place. The end of verse 3, the time is near. Again, we'll talk about this more next time when we actually get into these verses, but I take these as statements of imminency, that these events can happen at any time, not necessarily meaning they have to happen in a short period of time, that is, within a few years. The other argument they use is they say, look, when you go to chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, it mentions the beast there, this beast that comes up out of the sea. And later on in chapter 13, verses 16 to 18, it says that the number of this beast is the number of a man's name, and it's 666. And they say, if you take the words Neron Caesar, Nero Caesar, Neron Caesar, and you convert that into its numerical value in the Hebrew language, it equals 666. Now, that's true. It does. And so they'll say, well, there it is. Voila. You know, we've got a historical reference here to Nero. Well, I don't want to go into detail on this. A couple of problems with that. One is, it says in Revelation 13 that it's the number of the man's name. Neron Caesar was not Nero's name. His name was Nero. You have to add a title there to make it work. It's not just his name. Also, it's based on a defective spelling there as well. But here's the real problem with taking Nero as the beast in Revelation 13. When you go on down, it talks about he's going to be worshipped by everybody in the world. Nero did not receive global worship. It goes on and tells us there's a second beast who's like a lieutenant or a henchman for this first beast that promotes his worship. There was no one like that in the life of Nero that we know of. It also tells us that this second beast makes an image to the first beast, and this image can even speak. It's animated. Nothing like that ever happened during Nero's reign. It says that this mark 666 is placed on the right hand or the forehead of people everywhere to be able to buy or sell. That didn't happen during Nero's reign either. So all of these things that the text tells us weren't fulfilled in the time of Nero. And if you're going to be consistent, it all has to fit. Also, no one in the early church related Nero to the beast of Revelation 13 until the 5th century AD. To me, if it was that obvious, why didn't people at the time see it? The fourth argument they give is they'll say John mentions the temple in Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and they take that to be the second Jewish temple that was destroyed in 70 AD, the Herodian temple. When we get there, we'll talk about this more, but you remember in the book of Ezekiel and the book of Daniel, both Ezekiel and Daniel mention temples. But remember when Ezekiel and Daniel wrote, there wasn't a temple standing. The temple had been destroyed. So they both talk about a temple, but it had to be a future temple. John is kind of the New Testament Daniel. I mean, he refers to the book of Daniel and the book of Ezekiel extensively. So wouldn't we expect John to also write about a future temple as well? So I take it the temple in Revelation 11 is not the second Jewish temple, the Herodian temple that's still standing when Revelation's written. He's writing about a temple that's going to be on the earth in the future. So those are some of the main arguments for the AD 65 date. Let me hasten here to give some of the evidence for the 95 date. Let me start with the external evidence outside the Bible. Exhibit A, I like to call it, for the late date of Revelation. It was a man named Irenaeus. Irenaeus lived from about 120 AD to about 202 AD. He was the bishop of Lyon in southern France. He was born and raised in Smyrna, which is where one of the churches the book of Revelation was originally written to. He was discipled by Polycarp, who knew John. And he wrote his great book, Against Heresies, in AD 180. Now, in Against Heresies, Irenaeus wrote this: "We will not incur, however, the risk of pronouncing positively as to the name of the Antichrist." So he's trying to figure out who the Antichrist was, and he says, "I don't really know. For if it were necessary, his name should be distinctly revealed in this present time. It would have been announced by him who beheld the apocalyptic vision. For that was seen no very long time since, but almost in our day, toward the end of Domitian's reign." So he says, look, this apocalyptic vision was seen almost in our day toward the end of the reign of Domitian. Well, Domitian's reign ended in 96 AD. So based on this statement, people have dated the book of Revelation at about 95 or 96 AD, near the end of the reign of Domitian. So to me, Irenaeus is exhibit A for the late date of the book. And the reason is he was from Smyrna, where these letters were written, where the book of Revelation was written. He knew Polycarp, who knew John. I mean, you couldn't find a better witness to tell you when the book of Revelation was written than Irenaeus. He was probably the chief luminary or theologian in the second century church. When you go and look at the external evidence, and again, we won't have time to look through all of it, but let me just mention all the people that held to the 95 date in the early church. Hegesippus in AD 150, Irenaeus, Clement of Alexandria, Tertullian, Victorinus, Eusebius, the father of church history, Jerome, who translated the Bible into Latin. On and on we could go. These are the great luminaries of the early church. The first reference we have to the Nero date, the 65 date for the book of Revelation, is in a Syriac version of the New Testament in 508 AD. So almost 400 years, or about 400 years after the book of Revelation was written. You have this long line of people telling us it was written near the end of the reign of Domitian. So the external evidence is overwhelming in favor of this late date, and that's why it's been the dominant view in church history. And the other thing that's interesting is all these witnesses that we have here that I mentioned, they come from different and widespread geographical regions throughout the church. And yet they all give witness that John wrote the book during the reign of Domitian. Here's another thing to think about. If the AD 65 date for Revelation is correct, then that means that date would have had a 30-year running head start on the 95 date, right? Yet, why did it take 400 years for that date to appear, and yet the 95 date became the dominant date in church history? I think to me the only logical conclusion is because it is when the book was written. Now let me give a little internal evidence within the book itself for this AD 95 date. We looked at the external evidence. Within the book itself, though, why do we believe it was written in 95 AD? The first argument I would give is, according to church tradition, John didn't even come to Asia Minor until the middle to the late AD 60s. He fled Jerusalem during the Jewish war, fled Israel, and went over to the area around Ephesus. Robert Thomas says this, a good New Testament commentator. He says, "And Neronic dating would hardly allow time for John to have settled in Asia, to have replaced Paul as the respected leader of the Asian churches, and then to have been exiled to Patmos before Nero's death in AD 68. So, you know, to me, John has to move over there, get established, and begin to see this vision and write this and all of this before the time of Nero's death. So just the fact that John didn't even move there to the middle of the late AD 60s argues against the early date. Another thing to think about is, when you read the letters to the seven churches there in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and we'll talk about all of those, but think about the spiritual condition of those seven churches. The church at Ephesus had lost its first love. The church at Pergamum had allowed a Nicolaitan error to come in the church. The church at Thyatira was tolerating a woman named Jezebel, a false prophetess there, and were involved in what's called the deep things of Satan. The church at Sardis is so bad off that Jesus says the church is dead. And the church of Laodicea was so rich and arrogant that the Lord wanted to vomit them out of his mouth. Now you think about all those churches were founded there in Asia Minor during Paul's third missionary journey in the mid-AD 50s. So we would have to see, if the book of Revelation is written in 65 AD, that within a 10-year span, these churches have fallen this far. Yet when Paul writes, you remember the letter to the Colossians, he actually mentions the church of Laodicea in that letter, and he doesn't give any evidence that Laodicea is that bad off. And he writes the letter of Colossians in probably about 62 AD. So we'd have to believe in 3 years' time, this church is so bad and so arrogant, the Lord wants to vomit them out of his mouth. Now, to me, it fits better that these churches were founded in the mid-50s on Paul's third missionary journey. 40 years have gone by with time for a lot of this apathy and this error to begin to settle in there in the churches. That fits the situation, I think, a lot more clearly. A third argument from the internal evidence within the book is this. Polycarp, who was the bishop of Smyrna, a lot of you remember in church history, he was martyred there in the city of Smyrna in about AD 155 or 156. He says in his letter to the Philippians that the church of Smyrna did not even exist during the time of Paul's ministry. Yet in Revelation 2, verses 8 through 11, here where Jesus addresses the church at Smyrna, it indicates they'd been suffering persecution for some time when John wrote to them. And so the fact that the church of Smyrna didn't even exist during Paul's ministry, which of course went on probably till sometime around AD 67 or something like that, to me is a big problem to have these letters to the seven churches being written in 65 AD. So again, that's another argument, I think, from within the book that goes against the 65 date and supports a later date. Here's another argument that's fascinating. I've had the privilege 3 times to visit these sites of the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation. And when you visit Laodicea, which is the last of the churches, you find in your reading that there was a devastating earthquake in the Lycus River Valley. The Lycus River Valley is a river valley where there were the tri-cities of that area. You had Laodicea, Hierapolis, and Colossae. A devastating earthquake hit there in AD 60, and it devastated the area, and the city of Laodicea was basically leveled by this devastating earthquake. Yet when you read the letter to the church of Laodicea, the believers there are arrogant, They're prideful. They're self-sufficient. He says, you have need of nothing. The problem with that is 5 years later in 65 AD, when preterists would have us believe the book of Revelation was written, they were in the very earliest stages of rebuilding their city. To me, that goes against this arrogance and self-sufficiency they had. One of the things is interesting, the church of Laodicea was so wealthy, they didn't take any money from the Roman government to rebuild their city. They wanted to do it all on their own. I guess to put it in today's words, they didn't want any bailout money. You know, they wanted to do this whole thing on their own. They were so self-sufficient. But we know from church history that it took 30 years for the city of Laodicea to be completely rebuilt. The stadium there and the gymnasium and the gates and all the various parts of the city. A man named Colin Hemmer has written a great book. It was his PhD dissertation in England on the background, the local imagery in the letters to the seven churches. And he talks about how long it took to rebuild the city. Well, to me, it makes a lot more sense with this devastating earthquake hitting Laodicea in AD 60, that the 95 date, the traditional date, they would have rebuilt their city. They did it all on their own. And the self-sufficient attitude of the city had bled over into the believers there in the church. So that's another argument against the 65 date in favor of the 95 date. One other argument from the internal evidence is in Revelation 1:9, John has been banished to the island of Patmos when he's writing the book of Revelation, seeing the vision. Now, there's no evidence that we have that Nero banished Christians for being Christians. Now, he may have banished some people that were Christians, but he didn't do it for that reason. But we know that Domitian banished Christians to islands. In fact, the very year 95 AD, when John received the vision of the book of Revelation, he banished a woman who was a believer to an island. So the pattern of Domitian banishing believers to islands fits in with the background of the book. And here's another thing that's interesting. You remember Nero had Paul and Peter and Paul executed, yet John is banished. So if John is writing during the time of Nero, why didn't Nero have John killed the way he had Peter and Paul killed? So to me, the different treatment of Peter and Paul and John argues for the fact that they were dealt with by two different emperors. Peter and Paul were dealt with by Nero. John was dealt with by Domitian. So to me, the AD 65 date, the external evidence, there's no clear support of that until AD 508, 400 years after Revelation was written. The internal evidence they have, I think all of it can be answered successfully. Here's what Kim Riddlebarger says. He's a well-known amillennialist, but a great scholar. He says, in order to prove the Lord returned in AD 70, preterists must prove that Revelation was written prior to AD 70. Therefore, having already made a determination about the date of the Lord's return, an argument is then constructed to argue for a pre-70 date for the writing of Revelation. He says, one wonders if preterist arguments for an early date are based more upon theological necessity than the aggregate of the internal and external evidence. And I would agree with that. I mean, they got to have this early date or their view falls apart. And to me, that is the weakest point for being a preterist is your view is date dependent. If that's not true, your view's not correct. Why build your entire eschatological system on the sandy foundation of a view that's been the minority view in the church for almost 1900 years? And it's still the minority view today. I think that, to me, is just something that preterists really need to take into account and consider in their viewpoint. So the AD 95 date, the external evidence, there's a solid line of support beginning in AD 50 from the luminaries of the early church, men that preterists rely on for other information. That's what's interesting to me. Preterists will go to Irenaeus and Jerome and Eusebius and others for reliable information in church history. But, you know, when these men say that the book of Revelation was written in the time of Domitian, they discount that. And again, I think there's an inconsistency there that needs to be exposed. And then the internal evidence is there are arguments to me within the book internally that strongly suggest and in some cases even require the late date for the book of Revelation. So to me, the traditional AD 95 date is supported by the external evidence, the internal evidence. It's been the dominant view of the church since the second century. And that being true, I think that being the case, that really causes a big problem for the preterist view. That's why the date of Revelation is important again, because one of the views is totally dependent upon the early date of Revelation. So what I want to do next time, now we've kind of laid the foundation of the book, we've looked at kind of the occasion of the book and a lot of these different issues related to it. We talked about the four main approaches to the book, the preterist and the historicist, the idealist, the futurist. We've kind of introduced a lot of these things. We've talked about the date of the book now. Next time I want to actually then get into chapter one and begin to make our way through the book and our exposition of the book of Revelation. So we'll pick up there in chapter 1, verse 1 next time.